1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wanted to look at the topic of each member. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I was thinking about this week, oh, I guess over the last couple of weeks, a lot of times there are common questions that come up in people's lives. Maybe these questions come up more before you were a believer, but sometimes they come up afterwards as well. And a lot of them are like questions like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What should I do with my life? And those kind of things that people think about. And and I was thinking about E.W. Kenyon, who wrote, you know, some wonderful works on biblical truth, and how he was talking about, you know, philosophy, the study of philosophy, how people study what is the meaning of life, and, you know, why are we here, and all the greater purposes that philosophers try to go after. And one of the things he said in his book was, Jesus is the end to all true philosophy. So, you know, once you come to Jesus Christ, all those questions of what is your purpose, and what is my meaning of my life, and why am I here, and all those things are answered, if we allow them to be answered. There's no huge search now in your life about, well, what is the meaning of life, and, you know, what all those things. He said he was the end of all true philosophy. It's an interesting statement. But, you know, these questions can still come up, though, with believers. They can still think, well, I'm not so important, you know. It's just me. You know, what do I do that helps anybody anyway? And all those kind of things that people start thinking. And, you know, God's word is very much, very clear on each member and how valuable they are. And it's, and if, you know, it's for us to not try to over circumvent that understanding of God's word with our own thinking and say, oh, I'm not so important. What do I do? Why am I? All those kind of things. The other side to this is, once you get born again and become a part of the body of Christ, there's the other side which people think that there's nothing more to do. You know, in other words, I have arrived and everything's good and it's grace and, you know, just kind of coast for the rest of your life. And neither of these ways of thinking are correct, biblically speaking. So I just want to take a look at each member in the body of Christ today. You know, people might think once you're a believer, there's nothing more to do, and that's crazy, and that's not biblical. At the same time, we'll say, well, we know the church epistles each have a practical section. Well, if it's a practical section, then there's probably something to do. You know, so as a part, just to understand today, we just want to look at that topic of each member in the body of Christ and just how indispensable, valuable, and important each believer is, for you to see your lives that way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So one new man, one body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many, many members in the body of Christ. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? You know, might seem a little bit obvious, and if you think about this truth in terms of the human body, it's crazy to think that your arm would try to do what your leg is doing. I mean, it's almost silly, isn't it, right? But that's really what ends up happening in the body of Christ. Well, you know, someone might say, well, you know, I don't do what so-and-so does. Well, the leg doesn't do what the arm does. The arm doesn't do what the leg does. That would be silly, wouldn't it? So in the body of Christ, when it comes to each member in the body of Christ, for me to say, well, I don't do what so-and-so does, so therefore I'm not important. Or, you know, if I didn't do what this person did, then, oh, gee, or all the various wants and dislikes and things we come across. Well, if you think about the human body, it's crazy. Your eye would never try to do what the ear did. That wouldn't work very well, would it? It's kind of obvious, but sure does come up. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members. Who set the members? God. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. No, I don't like where I am. Now has God set the members in the as it hath pleased him. I'd rather be somewhere else. Now has God set the members. See, God put you in the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. He put you there as it had pleased him. Let's keep that real straight. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. That's the other side of the issue. You know, you can't say, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, I know he's a believer and all that, but, you know, really? What does he really do anyway? I don't know. You know, that's not for me to decide or you to decide. God has placed, and you know, and we'll look at the practical side of this in a second, but you can't say that. You would never say, and again, going back to the really crazy examples of the physical body, you would never say, well, leg, I don't really need you. You find out how fast your face hits the concrete when you say something like that. If the leg stops doing what it's supposed to be doing, you know, you get acquainted with the concrete. You know, so you can't. There's no right for anyone ever to even think that way or say that. So, 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And let me read that to you in the ESV. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. See, so you might think you might just. You know, wake up one day and say, well, I'm not very much important. I don't really do much or whatever. Well, God's opinion is that you're indispensable. That you're indispensable. That's his opinion. Now, you know, we'll look at more things related to that shortly, but that's God's opinion of each member. So why would you ever think differently than God's opinion of your own life? Yeah, sure. I know. We all have bad days. We all have, you know, those things happen and we kind of get down in the dump sometime. But that's why God's word is here. So we can go back to God's word and look at what is his opinion of our lives. Not my opinion of my life, because my opinion of my life many times is really not great. But God's opinion of my life is, well, more than I could have ever imagined. And he says, indispensable. So we'll just go with indispensable, like that. Verse, whether I like it or not, doesn't matter. It's truth. Where are we here? Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Where, you know, when you guys are praying for one another, it's just a great care that each member is supposed to have for the other. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now, that's really not that easy to understand, is it? Sure, easy to understand in the human body. You know, you drive a hammer on your little pinky, and the rest of your body is not very happy. You know, and it's kind of obvious again. Now, someone over in, I don't know, the deepest, darkest parts of some other country is hurt. Well, here, the Word of God says that when one member suffers, all the members, the body is not just our little, you know, sometimes people say our little part of the body. That's not a reality. The body is a big reality across the face of the earth. And here, God's Word says that when one member, a member suffer. Remember Paul wrote, he said, when one is weak, am I not weak? You know, it bothered him. And that's it's a spiritual reality. We're part of one body, one new man. We're all part of that. And it's very, very vital spiritual truth. or verse 26, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The other side, one person gets blessed, everybody's blessed. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Every member, indispensable, every member, a member in particular. Each one has a responsibility. Each one is indispensable. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, talking about the body of Christ, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God is the one who put the members in the body, and he has placed Jesus Christ in a position as well. The position he gave Jesus Christ is head. So God is the one who chose, put the members where he wants them, and he made Jesus Christ the head of that body. That's Jesus Christ's responsibility to be the head of the body. And we've looked at that before. You know, if Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, what did he say? He said, I always do those things which please the Father, right? This is Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. He says, I always do those things which please the Father. And he only spoke the things which God wanted him to speak. This is before Jesus Christ was exalted to the position he has now. So do you think he's doing what God wants him to do now? He certainly was when he was here, wasn't he? So now he has a position as the head of the body of Christ. He's not just a man. He's got the position as the head of the body of Christ. And that's the only named position, if you will. Okay. But speaking the truth, verse 15 again, may grow up into him which in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What a great verse, of itself in love. And again, the ESV, this reads as follows, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's an interesting way to think, but really, you know, when each part is working properly, so each member in the body of Christ has a responsibility. Now, let's say, you know, I have a certain responsibility in the body of Christ, and I choose to, you know, open up a casino and a brothel and do gambling every night for anybody who wants to come in. Am I fulfilling? You think I'm fulfilling my role in the body of Christ? You think that I'm helping edify itself up in love? No, I'm not. But I could choose to do that, couldn't I? See, every member is, God put them there. And that doesn't mean that every member is going to do what they're supposed to do. And if you think it just happens by, you know, well, it's not true, is it? Just the fact that you have freedom of will to do whatever you want to do should be very obvious to you that, you know, I may not, in my, you know, whatever God wants me to do, I may not do that. Right? It's a sad truth, but it's a truth. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I know sometimes all of us wish that God would make us do the things we want to do, but that's just not how it works. I think, generally speaking, we're much happier about that. Romans 12, verse 1, let's start there. I beseech you, therefore, by the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, and good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we are, so that whole preamble there to this chapter, you know, where God tells us that we're to, you know, renew our minds to his word, not be conformed to the way the world thinks, to renew our minds to his word, and to recognize, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but according, you know, all that is a preamble to him talking now about your function in the body of Christ. Verse 4, for we, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. The word office there is the word function. Not all members have the same function. You may not even know what you've been called to do. Maybe that's a problem. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you know, the Word of God has a lot of instructions, general instructions about things that all believers ought to do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Should I pray for you? Yeah, it's a good thing. Should I be thankful? Yeah, I should probably be thankful. Should I, if someone wants me to minister to them, yeah, I should do that. Should I, you know, the list is long, right? You can go down this whole list of things God's Word tells you. Well, it's pretty simple. If I don't know what I ought to be doing, maybe I ought to go to God's Word and see, well, here's some things that God says that, you know, be a blessing if I did these things. You know, that might be, so there's no problem there. The other thing is, just, well, why aren't you, if you want to do something like some activity, why not just try it out? You know, sometimes you try something out and say, well, maybe I should be doing this. And, you know, God, can you help me to do this? You know, that's one thing I love. You know, one man I read once had written a book about picking jobs in life. I think I might have shared this before, but picking your job in life. And, you know, one person was saying, well, you ought to do what, you know, God gives you revelation specifically to do in your life. And, you know, you ought to do all these things. And the other man said, well, you know, isn't it nice that God gives you the choice and no matter what you choose, he's going to bless you. Because he's a very much of a blessed God. He takes care of his people. You know, it's not like every decision you ever make in your life is going to be based on, you know, revelation from God. I mean, you know, in some respects, he may not care if you want to be a dentist or a doctor or whatever, or maybe, you know, but he's certainly giving you the option, you know, pick something, I'll bless you. You know, so the body of Christ, lots to do. There's a lot to do. And none of that, and again, I don't want to get it. We did a teaching a little while ago on good works, and if you want to listen to that, just to go back over that. But remember, none of this stuff that we're talking about has anything to do with God loving you more or earning your salvation or being more right. None of that stuff. It's got nothing to do with that whatsoever. But everything to do with where God has placed you in the body of Christ, as it has pleased him. And then this desire of his for the body to build itself up in love as each member, you know, follows the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Okay, where are we? Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You know, similar to the truths we read in Corinthians. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, because we've all been given grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. See, a list, here's all these things. You know, you want to do, just do it. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. A genuine, you know, act, genuine love. Without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know, a whole list of things. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever you're good at doing or whatever you want to develop doing, do that thing. You know, not slothful in business. That doesn't mean running your business. That's more, you know, being diligent in what you do. Never... don't lag in the area of diligence. Do it heartily. You know, serving the Lord also shows up here. We'll see it in a minute, but yeah, right here, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's the whole point of this whole thing. Like, you know, and I'm glad that you just mentioned it earlier. You know, whatever it is I do, whatever it is you do, you know, a huge percentage of the time, you're doing it with people. You know, maybe you're helping somebody, you know, move or something. Maybe you're helping them, give them whatever they need help with, teaching math or something, whatever it is you do. You're doing it to a person, but, you know, as you said, who are you serving when you do that? You know, you're certainly you're serving the person. You're, it's kind of obvious. You're giving them, but in the end, who do you serve? Serving the Lord, and that's it. That's the, you know, Jesus Christ is the head. He's the master. He's in charge of the body of Christ. And whatever you do, you serve Him. You don't serve people. You serve Him. And that's so, you know, and that's going to show up here quite a few times here. You know, and you may not like, you know, what you've been asked to do. There's a good chance a lot of times you won't like what you've been asked to do. Remember Ananias? I don't know. You know, Paul's a pretty interesting character. You've heard about him, God, haven't you? Yeah, I think so. You know, Lord. Yeah, I know all about him. But he's been chosen, so just get on what you're supposed to do. Okay, I'll do it. Now, you may not like what you've been asked to do. That isn't the point. You know, that's never the point. And the reason you may not like it, I don't want to be say that we're all kind of, you know, paying the next to God. I don't mean that. I mean, we're used to doing what we want to do, you know. And I know better than you do, God, about what's good for my life. Because I love Tower of Babel thinking. I'm really good at it. You know, and that might be what we carry into, you know, well, you may not like it. That's not the point. The point is you serve the Lord Christ, okay? Just do what, you know, what you're inspired, what you're asked to do. Just do that. Do that thing. And, you know, and don't worry about what else is going on in anybody else's life. And that's why it's great here. It says that you've been given the grace to do it. Because grace is not one of those things given to the believers in the body of Christ so that they can go about and do nothing and just, you know, hang out in the hammock their whole lives on a beach. Not a bad idea some days, but hey, you know, it's not what it's given for. Grace is given. So when you are working hard, because Paul said, you know, because of grace, I worked harder than anybody. So grace is given. So when you do work and you fail, grace will hold you up. It's not given so you don't do anything. So that's why he says, you know, you've been given the grace to do it. And boy, you know, some of the things that God asked you to do, you need it. Because it's not easy with, like, you know, 100% guaranteed that most of the time you're going to have to rely on Him to do what you got to do. Because that's just the way it works. You know, if God didn't need to send a Savior and we were all okay on our own, He wouldn't have done that, right? But He did. So, anyway, the grace is there for us to do what we need to do. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. I missed verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Does that take work? You know, does it take work? Yeah, sure it does. It takes time, it takes money, it takes planning, it takes all those things you do. But remember, in all these things, the difference here is you're serving the Lord. Remember that parable? The parable when they said, you know, When you were, you know, He blessed those people that came to Him later because He was, you know, when you were on the earth, you took care of me. They said, well, when did we take care of you? Well, but those who came who were hungry and you fed them and they were thirsty and gave them water, you were taking care of me. I said, oh, okay. Serving the Lord. You serve the Lord. That's why it's the motivation, it's the blessing and everything you do, serving Him. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Again, that one body thinking, you know. You get blessed when someone's blessed. When someone's suffering, you suffer. You know, the one body thinking. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things and so forth. Right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. That whole idea of be not wise in your own conceits literally means do not rely on your own intellect to do these things. Ephesians chapter 6, because Grace was talking about children obeying their parents, and we got to read it today. So, okay, Ephesians chapter 6. And here, you know, again, the latter part of Ephesians chapter 5, and Ephesians 6:6, this whole part covers basically all the areas of life as we know, you know, husbands, wives, children, workers, masters, and all these things. And throughout this area, throughout this, you know, it's amazing how many times that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in this section. and you know, vital to keep in our mind. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I love that. Keep it simple. It's right. Okay. That's all you need to know. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, we modify that when you're a parent and kids, you know. Listen to me and I won't kill you. That's the way you say it, but that's sort of the, that's the translation according to parents. Right. But yeah, so the blessing, as you know, to the children to obey, and why? And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In chapter 6, verse 1, it said, obey them in the Lord. Here it says, nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, it's always there. That's the background to all of this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Why? Because you won't get caught skiving at work? Because, no, that's not what it says. Why do I obey my master? With fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto who? Christ. Do you even need a boss once you become born again? No, but you have them. You're to obey them. Why? Because in the end, who do you serve? You serve the Lord. That's it. So then, you know, you can be by yourself in your room, or you can be with 100 people watching you, and you don't change what you're doing, do you? Unless I'm more adept at or more desirous to please people in what I do. But if I'm desirous to please Him in what I do, it won't matter whether I'm in my office by myself or at the office with a bunch of people. We serve the Lord. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. This is Ephesians. The central doctrine to the first century church, to us today. Right? Not with eye service as men pleasers. Now let me ask you another question. If you do what the Lord wants you to do, do you think it'll please your master? Your secular master? Yeah. He knows best, doesn't he? He's the best master. He's the best Lord. He's the best leader you could ever have, you know? And you have guaranteed employment for life. The benefits plan is awesome, right? To be with Him forever, healing in the atonement, healing in ministering, peace, mercy. I mean, have you ever had a benefits plan that reads like that in a regular job? No. It's the best one going. Verse 6 again. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Where is this all going? Where are we headed? And you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Even the guys who are bosses, he's their master as well. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. And we'll close in Colossians chapter 3. So, you know, each member of the body of Christ is indispensable. Each one is placed as God has chosen to place you. You know, and whatever it is that, you know, God works in you or inspires you to do, whatever particular activity, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what they're not doing. All, you know, unless they need help from you to help them to do, sure, then you help them. But in the end, you know, I'm not looking at you and saying, well, you know, I really wish I could do that. And this person's looking at this person. You know, there's really no room in the body of Christ for envy, jealousy, all these things, bitterness. There's no room for it at all whatsoever. That's not what it's all about. It's all about us having one head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, where the life from Him flows to the members of the body of Christ, and they do what they're asked to do, and then that building up and the edifying of the body of itself in love as they just do what you're told to do. You know, and it's wonderful to, you know, have a master. You know, you don't have to figure everything out all the time. Just do what He tells you to do, what's worked in you to do. And we'll close in Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, but whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You just merrily go about your life doing what you are directed by the Lord to do, knowing that you are a vital, an indispensable member in the body of Christ.